book of Proverbs. Start in chapter. Let's start in chapter 2. Proverbs chapter 2. And we're going to be in Proverbs 1, 8 and through 2. So we'll start in chapter 2 and then we'll be doing some things as we go along. I'm going to be in chapter 2 and then we're going to be in verse chapter 1, verse 8. So not chapter 8. So Proverbs chapter 2, then 1, 8. Okay, this is the word of the Lord. Proverbs chapter 2. My son, or my child, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom. Incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you, to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, and from those who leave the paths of uprightness to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in the perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words, that leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death, and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. And then Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Proverbs chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction. Do not forsake your mother's teaching. Indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. My son, if sinners entice you, do not consent. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait for blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path, for their feet run to evil, and they hasten to shed blood. Indeed, it is useless to spread the baited net in the sight of any bird, but they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. So are the ways of everyone who gains by violence. It takes away the life of its possessors. This is the word of the Lord. So we've started some work looking at the book of Proverbs during the weeks that I'm preaching, during the days, the Sundays that I'm preaching. So we're looking at the book of Proverbs. And I've asked before, as I ask now, this is the first time in like 30 years of preaching that I've preached on the book of Proverbs. So be gentle to me as I stumble my way through it. And I've also said that I'm not going to be going through the whole book. I'm going to go to a certain point. I'm going to stop. I'm going to pull out themes. But just know that we're not doing the next 3 years of Proverbs. But remember, when we were looking at Proverbs, we talked last time when we were looking about the beginning of wisdom that Proverbs is a collection of wise sayings, sayings that are supposed to help people in their day-to-day. We also talked about the fact that Proverbs are actually, and this is in the book of Proverbs, they're dangerous in the wrong hands. A proverb, we remember reading one of the verses, a proverb in the mouth of the fool is like a giving a drunk man a stick with thorns on it. It's dangerous. They don't know when to use it. So that was important to remember from the book of Proverbs. We also remember, if you remember, that the beginning of wisdom, to become wise, it doesn't start only with the Proverbs. It starts with the fear of the Lord. And remember when we talked about the fear of the Lord, it wasn't about being afraid. Ah, he's going to hurt me. It was also about thinking about how do I not hurt him? That concern with the relationship you have with him. So we talked about those things for Proverbs. But also let's do a little bit of reminder of why we need wisdom. Why we need wisdom. As a reminder, most of our lives, our day-to-day, is not about navigating life and deciding, am I going to break this commandment or not break this commandment? Most of our lives isn't like that. You don't wake up in the morning and go, I wonder, am I going to murder my children and break that commandment or not? You don't do that. None of us do that. Most of our life is actually considering making small decisions all over the day that sometimes have nothing to do with any of commandments. There is no commandment that says, thou shalt not eat McDonald's breakfast. There's no commandment like that. But wisdom says, be careful how often you eat a McDonald's breakfast, right? You see, it's about wisdom. So actually 90% of your life, if I were to give a statistic, like 90% of our choices is probably things that you're trying to figure out how to navigate life. That's all it is. Things that you're trying to figure out navigating life and not really about, am I going to break this law? Or am I going to do this rebellion against God? Usually not. That's not the most of life. But that tells us that most of those decisions of our life can actually be pretty major and change the trajectory of our life. Do I hang out with these people or these people? And then when you discover you hang out with the wrong people, it could change the directory of your life. So this is what we're looking at today. We're actually going to be looking at, as we're studying this part of Proverbs, in this Proverbs chapter 2, and in Proverbs chapter 1, we're going to see this idea of wisdom rescuing us from the foolish crowd, right? This is the idea that's going to be happening here. And what we're going to see is in three different ways. We're going to first see the beauty of wisdom's way. Then we're going to see the danger of the foolish way. And then we're going to see the only way to get true wisdom. So that's the beauty of the way of wisdom, the danger of the foolish way, and then the only way to get true wisdom. So first, let's start off with the beauty of wisdom's way. Like here's the beauty. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. It's from the father, right? So think about this picture, this relationship. It's the dad talking to his son, right? Now that's a picture, right? But you could put yourself in that situation too if you start thinking about that scripture is inspired by God for our learning, and the one who's giving us the scripture is the Father himself through the Holy Spirit. And he's got a little message for you, who he calls all of us, men and women, sons. Now, that's not to say that he's calling you a boy, but back in that old culture, a son had the responsibility in the household. So as a grown-up son, that son had the responsibility for the household of managing the wealth for the home, things like that. So in that society, when the son was coming into his own and taking over the household, that came with responsibility. And in the New Testament, we are all men and women called sons of God. So that means that we all have responsibility with the things that God has given us. And here he's giving us some beautiful instruction. Look at chapter 1, verse 8. Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Now, some of us might not have a good dad. Some of us might not have a good mom. But this picture is clearly a family who cares. A family who cares, where the father and the mother are sitting down with their son and they're saying, don't forget. Don't let it go. Hold on to your father's teaching. Hold on to your mother's teaching. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you. So the father is saying, hey, son, I'm speaking to you. Hold on to the words I'm giving you. Treasure these things. And this is where you're going to start seeing the beauty. That idea of treasuring commandments. You know, lots of us like to have a little bit of treasure in the bank, right? Maybe some of us have less treasure in the bank than others, right? When you pay out the utility bill and you go, oh, I have less treasure in the bank. But we have something in a bank account that we might treasure. But that's only money. That pays for things. Some of us might have something that we treasure at home. You know, like family photos that you've taken back when before the for the kids, there was cameras that actually had film and they came out on paper. So those things were unique. So you would take these pictures and you would save them in an album. Those things wind up being a treasure, something you want to keep because they're precious. And they were only one of those things. It was only the printed picture and the film, and that was it, the only existence of it. Nothing lived in a cloud. It all lived in your closet. So that idea of this thing that is treasure, something that is precious. And look at here in chapter 1, verse 9. These teachings, these instructions, and says, indeed, they are a graceful wreath to your head and ornaments about your neck. You see, this is the beautiful thing with Proverbs. It's pictorial sayings. They're wise, but he uses a lot of imagery. Do you read what it says there? It's going to be those instructions from the father, those teachings from the mother are like a beautiful crown on your head and a gorgeous necklace around your neck. The teachings of the wisdom of God makes you gorgeous, makes you beautiful. It's something that he's placing on. If you hold on to it, if you take it, it is beautiful. It makes you gorgeous. And it's not like it's hidden. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Look at chapter 1, verse 20. Wisdom shouts in the street. She lifts her voice in the square. At the head of a noisy street, she cries out. At the entrance of the gates in the city, she utters her sayings. It makes you gorgeous, and wisdom is shouting out. God's wisdom is shouting out for you to listen. Above the noise of the crowd, around the city gate, it's a picture of this woman walking through the streets and shouting out. You can hear her. And God's wisdom, this beautiful wisdom that's being instructed, is saying, it's out there. It's calling for you. Are you listening? It's beautiful. Reach out for it. And not only that, look at chapter 2. Look at verse 3. Chapter 2, verse 3. If you cry for discernment, if you lift your voice for understanding, if you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. So it makes you gorgeous because the wisdom of God is gorgeous. It's beautiful. It's a treasure. And like I said, it's out there to be reached. It's calling out. God's wisdom is calling out. And here the Father is saying, look for her. Look for her. It'll make you beautiful. It'll light up your life. It is the way to go. Look for God's wisdom. So then the question is, like, why don't we? why don't we look for God's wisdom? If it makes us beautiful, if God's wisdom itself is beautiful, why aren't we sitting there going, I want to know it. I want to get that wisdom. Well, we're going to get into why we don't do that. But let me give you a little bit of a commendation, something that I will commend to you, something that you can do even today. If wisdom is so gorgeous and something to be sought for, something that God is making available to us, where is it available? Well, like I just said, the full book of Proverbs is full of wisdom. It has 31 chapters. That means you can read a chapter a day from the book of Proverbs, and you will finish the entire book in a month. You can use the day of the month. What's today's date? The 6th. You can go home today, and you can start reading Proverbs chapter 6. It'll take you a minute. A minute a day for 31 days, and you will go through 31 chapters, the book of Proverbs. God has made it available for you. Do you have a Bible available to you? Oh, there's printed Bibles. There's digital Bibles on Google. He's put it within reach. Use it. So a little commendation for you. I'll have another commendation for you too in a little bit, but I'll get to that in a little bit. So that's the beauty of wisdom, the beauty of wisdom. It makes you gorgeous. It in itself is gorgeous. But look at chapter 3. Look at chapter 3. What else wisdom does. Look at chapter 3, verse 2. Well, let me start in verse 1. My son, do not forget my teaching. Let your heart keep my commandments, for length of days and years of life and peace they will add to you. Isn't that some promise? Wisdom makes you gorgeous. It itself is gorgeous. God's wisdom is gorgeous, makes you gorgeous. It itself is gorgeous, and it will lengthen the days of your life, makes you live longer. Now, I don't want you to start reading this and start thinking, wait a second, I know some Christians who have died early. Yeah, I know Christians have died early too. This isn't like a package, this isn't like a prescription that says if you read the book of Proverbs, you will therefore live longer. What this is telling us is that if you're thinking about wisdom the right way, live longer is not just something that you look in the days of your life. What's eternal life? How long is that? Eternal. It's a long time. And if the wisdom of God starts with fearing God, trusting Him, and being concerned with how He feels and how you're treating Him, well, how long does your life live if you're living a life where you're loving God and in obedient relationship with Him? Well, you live forever. Did that prolong the days of your life? Yes, it did. You see what I mean? So let's not only think about the time, the mini time that we have here of 20, 30, 40, 70, Marty, 100 years, whatever the amount of years. Let's not think about this. This is only small potatoes. The amount of years that we have here, our life goes much longer. But wisdom prolongs your life, prolongs your life. And then look at chapter 2, verse 8. How is it preserving your life? Chapter 2, verse 8. Wisdom is guarding the paths of justice and preserves the way of His godly ones. Oh, even your footsteps are protected. Now again, like I said, this is not like you're reading Proverbs so that you have a force field around you and that laser beams and things like that won't hit you. That's not what this is saying. But this is saying that the path of justice is the right path. It's the path where God says, this is where I'm at. And being on that path, man, you can't do any wrong with that. That is the place to be. But when we're reading all of this about wisdom, when we're reading all about this beauty of wisdom way, did you notice how often the idea of path came up? Way came up? It's interesting because it said, like when we were reading through, we were seeing that wisdom isn't really being spoken about as something that someday, suddenly, click, you're now wise. You've read Proverbs chapter 31, and then you look up, oh, I'm wise. It doesn't work that way. This idea of this path of the righteous versus now the danger of the foolish path. Let's look at the danger of the foolish path here for a second. I'm going to go back to that bit when I was just talking about this idea of this path. Here it says that this path is something. Look at verse 10. My son, if sinners entice you. Chapter 1, verse 10. If sinners entice you. You see that? It's a path that starts with, it doesn't start with you being suddenly violent. It starts with enticement. Enticement is something that looks good or something that sounds good. And here, the father says, do not consent. Because this path doesn't start with you doing the wrong things. It starts with you, like, murdering people, I mean. It starts with something you like and then just saying yes to it. Where else do we see this? Look at chapter 2. Chapter 2, verse 15. Whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you, verse 16, from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words. Now, you might be confused by reading the word strange woman. That's not saying that there's a stranger danger or something like that. What this is saying is, it's speaking to the son, he's married. And when it refers to a strange woman, it's someone, a lady, that's not your own. And he says she's an adulteress. So she has other people besides her own husband. And what does she do? The son, he doesn't wind up holding hands with her and walking down the street with her just because. No, she starts somewhere, and it says there, she flatters with her words. Does flattery feel good? It does, right? Those are great shoes. Oh, thanks. Your hair looks great. Oh, thank you. You're looking pretty thin today. Oh, great. You see, like, flattery, yes, it does a thing for you. It cheers you up. Now, I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with flattery. It's okay to notice someone's haircut. Your hair looks great. That's okay. I'm not saying there's something wrong with that. The point of what we're reading, though, is that this path starts with something that feels pretty good. It's innocuous. It starts off okay. And this is where the father says, hey, you're being enticed. If sinners entice you, don't consent. Why are we not supposed to consent to that enticement? Look at chapter 1 again, verse 11. If they say, come with us, let us lie in wait in blood. Let us ambush the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive with shale, even whole as those who go down to the pit. We will find all kinds of precious wealth. We will fill our houses with spoil. Throw in your lot with us. We shall all have one purse. Now, that's not enticing, right? There's not a point that you're going to have somebody come up to you and say, hey, you want to go kill somebody? And you're going to say, that sounds great. It doesn't start like that, right? But this is why the father starts with first verse 10, if they entice you, don't consent. And then he explains where it ends up in verse 11, that it's so far down the road that they're saying, join us. Let's go do this thing. Let's go make our money off of somebody else's back. Let's go get together and all have one purse. Now, when you're reading this, right, you just read this and you're hearing only the part about the violence, but you're not hearing the stupidity, the foolishness of this way. You're not hearing the stupidity. Listen to what they're doing, these people, this crowd of people. They're saying, let's go kill somebody. Let's go be violent to somebody. Let's go take somebody's money. And we're all going to take somebody else's money and we're going to have one wallet that we share. Do you hear the stupidity? If they're reaching out to you to take somebody else's money that they don't know, to have it all in one pot, how long do you think that pot's going to belong to only that group of people? It's not. Because that's not the way they're at. They're sitting there ready to destroy. This is why in verse 17, in verse 18, it says, the writer says, they lie in wait for their own blood. They ambush their own lives. You see, the foolish way is really stupid. It starts off feeling pretty good, but by the end, it's so bad that you're in this position that it's dangerous. It's horrible. You're killing yourself. And the father says in verse 15, "My son, do not walk in the way with them. Keep your feet from their path." Again, now going back to that picture, I was talking about the path. There's not a point that somebody's going to say to you, "Let's go kill somebody," and you're going to say, "Sign me up." You have to be on that path for that statement to now make sense, for you be willing to do that. It starts off with something enticing, and then you progress down the path by doing different things, by making foolish decisions. Here's what the Bible is teaching us about wisdom. Wisdom isn't like a light switch. You're not sitting there, you walk into a room, and you're foolish, and then you read your Bible, "I'm wise." It doesn't work that way. Wisdom starts with the fear of the Lord, but it is very boring to become wise. And it is equally boring to become foolish. What do I mean by that? Because to become a fool and to become wise, to be in that position, you have to make small decisions. Left foot, right decision. Going forward, that results in the end state. So you make a decision that means maybe nothing. This guy, I hear some bad things about him. I'm going to spend a little time with him. Why not? What's so wrong in that? One decision. This guy, he drinks a little much. I'll just sit at the restaurant with him. It's okay. Two decisions. This guy, he's sharing his drink with me. I'm not going to be rude. Three decisions. Small, tiny decisions that bring us down the foolish way or the way of wisdom. Small decisions. And let me tell you, don't read this passage and think it only has to do with violence. Because there's decisions like this throughout life where we join the crowd and we put our money with the purse of that crowd, and it is a foolish decision. Social media. I'm going to first start with social media because everybody, most of the people here are too old to use it. But let's start with social media and then work our way backwards. Social media. You start with social media and it's you go into social media and you look at all these people. They're picking on some random people. That's kind of stupid. Why are they doing that? That doesn't make sense. You know, they don't even know this person. I'm just going to be on this platform. That's all good. Oh, you know what? This person just said something pretty interesting that's a little bit dumb. Let me just post something here. And then I get a like. Ooh, that was pretty nice. That felt pretty good. And then there's two likes. Oh, my goodness. Now there's 20 likes. Oh, my word. My social media account is blowing up. I'm going to be an influencer. I can make some money over this. I have 100 likes. Oh, man, I'm rolling in it. And then you find yourself eventually in the place where you're the person who's just like the crowd who's posting about other people. That's social media. None of us does social media. So we're like, that's a silly example. Gossip. That group of people there, they gossip about people all the time. I can't believe they do that. Yeah, right? Isn't it something else that they do that? Yeah, I know. Can't believe they gossip all the time. And then you took a few steps towards gossip. And then next Sunday, there they are. They're doing that gossiping again. And then you go back to that same person. Look at them again. Like a haggle of turkeys. You're sitting there gossiping. Can you believe that? And can you believe his shirt? Wow. Isn't that something? And then you took another step. And eventually, you're the group that somebody comes in and says, "There's the gossipers." You see, it happens with everything. You put yourself in that pool. And then that purse, that one purse, you find yourself that the second you leave that group, you're like, let me go get a cup of coffee, and you leave the group. The group that's left there goes, could you believe what she's wearing today? It happens with gossip. It happens with so many things. It all starts with small decisions. Small decisions that put us on that path that results in foolishness. It's a horrendous path. And let me say that this can happen to any of us at any point in life. I was just talking this morning. I'm going to use an example. This is a very innocuous example. But I was just talking about this morning that when I was younger, I used to eat anything. Now, I look at something and I gain weight. But I can't stop myself from grabbing and eating it. Why? Why? Because I've made decisions over time of not stopping myself from eating. So now I find myself that I'm going there and grabbing things. There's other things. Here's another stupid example. If you ever sit with me, and this is, I'm admitting my shame. My wife calls me out on this all the time. And she says, I hope you don't sit with people at work. But when I eat, I make yum-yum noises. I do it all the time. And it was because since I was young, I would sit there, and that was a decision I would make. I go, and it just became a habit. So now to this day, when I eat, I don't even realize it. I'm going, And my wife then says, that's crazy that you do that. But you see, those small decisions result in a place. Yes, stop calling me out. I already called myself out. But the thing is that those things, those decisions, bring you to a bad place. Now, we use the example of foolishness, but just like in the example of violence, go back to chapter 2. In chapter 2, verse 15, it talked about the paths are crooked. Those are devious in their ways. And where did those steps start? It started with flattery from this woman. And then this woman, look at verse 17, she leaves the companion of her youth. She was in a relationship with a guy since she was young, and she forgets the covenant of her God. And then that house that she's bringing this guy into, her house sinks down to death. Her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the path of life. Do you see that? The path starts with something that feels good, flattery. Oh, yeah, I look great, thank you. Yeah, I did work out this morning. And it ends with a house that's right over the pit of hell. Now, it's a picture, right? It's a picture. But he's illustrating for us the foolish way is catastrophic. It's catastrophic. It ends in death. And the right way, wisdom, the way of wisdom is different. So just like I used the example of making those poor decisions, wisdom works differently. You make small decisions. Like I said, no one wakes up wise. But you make decisions that lead to being wise. I might have used this example before. I don't know if I've used it before, but I'm my father-in-law. You guys know that he has dementia, right? And my wife sent me a video, and I might have told this story before. I don't know, so forgive me. But while they went to Pennsylvania, and my wife took video of my father-in-law, who doesn't remember things. He doesn't remember his wife sometimes. He thinks that she's his daughter or that he's in the wrong house. He just doesn't remember. And he forgets things all the time. It's really sad. But he was streaming in, he was watching, they streamed into the meeting that we had here at church. And we were singing, Come Thou Fount of Every Blessing. And he, my wife, caught a video and she has him singing. He's looking at the TV. He doesn't have a hymn book. And he's saying, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. How did he remember that? Now, you might say, oh, it's the Holy Spirit doing. Stop that. The Holy Spirit doesn't work that way. He works like that in special events. But you know how the Holy Spirit worked with wisdom? Step by step. By step, years of that man sitting down and faithfully reading hymns by himself, maybe singing it as part of his devotion, singing it at church, so that those words were so deep part of him that there he is watching a church meeting that's being streamed and the words come out. and you realize that even though he has dementia, you go, that man is wise. Did he wake up that morning wise? No. He made small, boring decisions. Decisions that you would sit there and walk by the room. Why is he playing that hymn again? Maybe you walk by that, maybe every Sunday, maybe that hymn is playing. Why is he listening to that hymn again? Because now there he is at that point of life, and you see the wisdom of his way. You see those small decisions. So here's another small decision that you can make. I gave you Proverbs that you could read it in a chapter a day. Did you know that if you read the Bible every day, just reading 4 chapters a day, you would read through the entire Bible in a year? Did you know that? And if you read just 5 chapters a day, every day, except weekends, you would read through the whole Bible in a year. What? Yeah, but that does include Psalm 119, which is one of those chapters, right? So I just divided it by chapters. But that means that you could read through the Bible just by reading 4 chapters or 5 chapters a day. Ray, that sounds boring. Exactly. That's the way wisdom works. It's making small decisions, habitual decisions down that path. So I gave you the danger. I gave you the beauty of wisdom, the way of wisdom. I gave you the dangers of the foolish way. But before I go by showing the only true way, the only way for true wisdom, everything I just said is something that you can get up from church today and you could say, walk away, and you go, as even as a non-believer, you could say, that was some good advice. I shouldn't make bad decisions, and I should make small, good decisions, small habitual decisions day by day. Good advice. Thanks. I'll do that. But remember, we're not talking about just any wisdom. We're talking about true wisdom. And this true wisdom, like I said, begins with the fear of the Lord. But look what else is about this wisdom. Look at chapter 2, verse 6. Chapter 2, verse 6. The Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. Do you see that? This wisdom isn't a wisdom that you just sit there and go, time for me to work harder. No, this is a wisdom that comes from the Lord. Now, he's giving us this wisdom already by putting it in Scripture right at our fingertips. The word is not far from you. It's near you, even at the tip of your tongue. So he has this wisdom right here available for us. But this true wisdom isn't merely good advice. It's wisdom that comes from the Lord. And look at verse 7. The Lord stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity. So when I was talking about that path, walking down that path, we have to understand that the only way to walk in true wisdom is walking on a path where we know all the wisdom is coming from him. That he is the one who's the shield on that path. He is the one that is storing it up. Look at verse 10. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. This is what's so deep here. True wisdom comes from the outside, enters your heart, and it changes. It becomes pleasant to your soul. Now, you see, when I was talking about making those left-right decisions, right, the reason that the foolish way is so easy is because we do find it enticing. The reason I find it hard to stop eating donuts is because donuts are delicious. So it's enticing. It draws you. And what God is saying here, what God is showing us, is that if you're going to be a person that's truly wise, if you're going to be truly wise, it's not merely about changing your habits. It's about changing your loves. And that's very hard to do. Very hard to do. Some of the old teachers, back in the old Christian teachers, what they would say is that our problem is not that we have bad examples, that we have bad habits, that we just need to get a better example and get better habits. That's what he said. That's not the problem. He said our problem is that we love the wrong things and we like those things. That's the problem. And when you love those wrong things, those desires, they completely consume you. And sometimes it's not even that you're loving the wrong things, it's that you're loving the right things the wrong way. And those things consume you. They start defining you. And when you start being defined and consumed by those things, you also lose them. Because they become little things that envelop your whole life. And what we need wisdom to enter into our hearts and to need new love. New things that please us. A new desire. Now you try at all to convince yourself to love something. It's very, very, very hard. Convince yourself not to love donuts. When you love donuts, impossible. You can't do it. There's no amount of twisting yourself to make yourself love something. You can't do it. And there's no amount of twisting yourself to make you stop loving. You can't do it. This is why we see here, go back to chapter one. When wisdom is calling out, remember we were reading in verse 20, she was shouting in the street. And she look at verse 22, she cries out, "How long, O naive ones, will you love being simple-minded? And scoffers delight themselves in scoffing, and fools hate knowledge." If the problem is that we love being simple-minded, if we delight ourselves in scoffing, if we hate knowledge, if that's the true problem, well, how do we get out of it? How do we become people who love knowledge, who desire and find pleasure in God's knowledge? Look at verse 23. "Turn to my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit on you, and I will make my words known to you." You see that wisdom, you turn to her, and she pours herself into you. Now, this is a word picture, right? This is all a word picture. This is all a word picture. It's an illustration. This is why the Proverbs is describing wisdom as a woman. But what does the New Testament tell us? Let's turn to John chapter 14. John chapter 14, where true wisdom starts being explicit. John chapter 14, this idea of the Spirit being poured out. Look at John chapter 14, verse 16. Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him. But you know him because he abides with you, and we will be in you." So what does God do? He takes a measure of taking the third person of the Trinity, and that person comes and lives within you. That person being sent from the Father. That person being sent from the Father by the Son. So the Son and the Father, the Holy Spirit proceeds and comes and lives within us. That's external. So that's something about that true way. We have to have that external reality enter into us. But how do we do that, Ray? What is that way to get to that? So we go up. Look at John chapter 14. Christ is speaking. He says, "Don't let your heart be troubled." 14 verse 1. "Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions or dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." So Christ is saying, "I have something beautiful for you." Just like what I was talking about wisdom. It's beautiful. I have this for you. It's waiting for you. And I'm going to come bring you there. I'm going to do that. Well, how do I get there? Do I do that, get there by getting the right habits, about doing the right work? No. So Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. We don't know the way." And Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me." The true way to true wisdom, the only way to true wisdom, is through Jesus Christ himself. That's the only way. That's the only way. Because he then You trust him, and he then says, all right, I've got this. I now pour the Spirit into you. You're one of my own. I know, and now you have the ability. Now you have the way. Now you have the right desire to want to be truly wise. Now you can look at all of life in that proper light, that it's not just about becoming a better person because I avoid donuts. Now it's really about, I want to please the Lord. I'm concerned about him, and he's with me. So I'm going to make those left, right, very boring decisions so that I honor him, so I glorify him. So when, going back to the example of my father-in-law, it's not like I can go up to my father-in-law even 10 minutes after he sang that song and said, hey, that song was great. You did a good job. It's not even in his mind. But I can glorify the Lord that he used my father-in-law in that sort of way, trained him over those years. And even now, I'm using him as an example, right? It goes back to the Lord. It goes back to him. So if you want to be a truly wise person, if you want to be a truly wise person, yeah, you need to read the book of Proverbs. Yeah, you need to be reading your scriptures. You need to be doing those things, but you're doing those things not because it's going to make you wise. It's because you have wisdom poured out in you, and you're just trying to evidence it. Get into the habit. So young people, as I encourage you now in the last closing minutes, this is the time when your brain is still mushy to spend some time reading your scriptures. Spend that time. I know sometimes it's poo-pooed about memorizing verses. Memorize your verses. Memorize. Because when you start to memorize those things, they get in there. And yeah, there comes times in life when you start meditating on them because something happens. But remember the words. Also, I encourage all of us. I really like classic rock. I really like classic rock. But you know what? Let's all spend some time listening to some good hymns, good lyrics, those things that really are good and pleasing and honorable, right? This is straight up Ephesians chapter 4, those things that are pleasing and honorable. Think of those things. Well, was that Philippians? That might have been Philippians. Ephesians is the one that says, encourage with one another with psalms and spiritual songs. Do that. Those are good habits, but don't do it as an external thing. Do it as something that is true from the inside because of what God has done for us. He sent his son to die for us so that we're not underneath the punishment of sin. We now have the freedom to truly enjoy him. So do enjoy him and make those decisions. Left, right, left, right. 4 chapters a day, very easy. 5 chapters on weekdays, very easy. If you want to start easy, Book of Proverbs, 31 days. If you want to start even easier, John is what, 21 chapters, 20 chapters, 21 chapters? You could read that in a month just on the weekdays. Left, right, left, right. Let's close in prayer. Blessed Lord God, we thank you for the lessons that you have from us from the Book of Proverbs. We thank you that we see this, that you show us the true beauty, the beauty of wisdom, and the foolishness of the danger of the foolish way. But we really enjoy and love that the only right way to true wisdom is through your Son, who died for us and asked of you to send the Holy Spirit to be within us. So now we pray that you work in us day by day, that we can be a people in the small things, making those decisions that honor you in the moment, even when no one's looking, reading this verse, that verse, memorizing this verse, that verse, listening to that hymn versus that hymn. Teach us and mold us, we pray, so that one day we truly are the very image of your Son, as you have promised to make us to be. We ask this all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.